Welcome to the Hawley Baptist Church podcast, bringing you into a community in which everyone is welcome, lives are changing, and Jesus is King. Thanks for listening with us today. We would invite you to subscribe so you can keep up to date with us. But for now, we pray you enjoy listening to what God has in store for you in this episode, and that it helps change your life for the better. In Jesus' name, enjoy.
Good morning and welcome, whether you are watching HBC online, on a podcast, now live, or on demand, or any other way that you can watch it. I'm Jen.
Who knows? I'm Stu.
And we're here to welcome you this morning. It's usually so slick, isn't it? It's not
always.
Big. Always so
always
slick.
Always slick. Always.
So today we're going to continue our current series, which has been, I'm going to have to remind myself, what was that it? And today is about the breakdown of relationships or teams. So Martin's going to be talking to us a bit about that later. But let's have a look and see what that's all about.
Disappointment. We all face it, but how do we move forward when life doesn't meet our expectations? In Was That It? We'll look at real stories of people in the Bible who found hope and purpose beyond the letdowns. Discover how God meets us in our disappointments and invites us into something bigger.
So we're coming to the first, last, and the last, not the first, final part of our series, Was That It? Recognizing that sometimes life can be disappointing. Sometimes things do not work out as we would like them to work out. Things don't end as they, as we maybe expected. And we're going to be looking at when relationships break down this morning. Maybe how can we respond and is God in it? I remember when Jen and I were preparing to get married, we were attending a large church in London, and we did some marriage course. Who's done a marriage course? Either before marriage or after marriage? Yeah. And you ended up with a whole room of different people, all couples, all planning to get married, and it's about to get, you know, giving tips, but getting conversation going, and try and make it as easy as possible as you start marriage. And I remember one of the key tips that stuck with me, probably one that you know as well, it's kind of biblical, is don't go to bed angry. Unfortunately, in any relationship, marriage as well, things maybe go a little bit wrong and you have a little bit of a crossword and you have a disagreement. And they said, don't go to bed angry. Try and sort it all out before you go to sleep. I don't know if we've managed that every single time, but it's a good thing to do. And sometimes you just need someone who's going to make that first move. I remember as a child, if I did something wrong, I got sent up to my bedroom, and it was up to me to decide when I would come down. It depends on how stubborn you are, I guess. But at some point, you have to come down the stairs and say sorry. And marriage is exactly the same. At some point, it might be just to reach, just across that huge chasm in the bed, just to touch them and kind of start that conversation going. Maybe it's a muttering under your breath, sorry, when you don't really mean it, but you just need to get the conversation started, because getting that ball rolling, conversation started, leads to better understanding, some sort of resolution of the conflict, and hopefully a stronger relationship. But what if that didn't happen? What if you're in a marriage and there was no reaching over and touching? There was no conversation. Now, here's a couple here. They are called Otu and Yumi Katayama. As you might have guessed from their name, they're from Japan. And they were happily married. They had two children. But then something happened. Yumi upset Otu. The wife upset the husband. But she didn't quite know what had happened. And Otu responded by refusing to talk to his wife for 20 years. He rebuffed all efforts at conversation and communicated via grunts and nods for 20 years. Somehow, in those 20 years, they managed to have a third child. I don't know how that happens. Finally, their now adult children went to a TV program in Japan, and they managed to get the couple together. And he finally spoke to his wife. He said sorry and thanked her for not leaving him. See, disagreements, misunderstandings, falling outs, they're all part and parcels of relationships. Because when people get close together, they rub up against each other and things do go wrong. And unfortunately, sometimes relationships break down. They drift apart. So maybe what was once a flourishing, productive partnership, relationship, friendship can become stuck and maybe even toxic. And really, when I was preparing this, I'm thinking, we all have different friends through different phases of life. And I'm not so talking about marriage here, where we have been talking about marriage, but reality is we have working relationships, we have friendships, we have maybe close friends that we drift apart. Things go wrong and those relationships break down. And I kind of think, is that always a bad thing? Do certain relationships have a particular shelf life? They're for a particular time and a particular place. Can it sometimes be God's purpose that relationship moves on? And is he able to make good from a bad situation? And is it possible for relationships to break down, but actually to things still to be okay, to have little and maybe even some reconciliation. So we're going to look at a friendship this morning between two guys. They're from in the New Testament, and they are called Paul and Barnabas. And you can read about them in the book of Acts, which is the story of the early church. The full title is The Acts of the Apostles, but really it's the story of what happened after Jesus had ascended into heaven. He'd given the early followers a job to do, a mission to complete, and we see what happens next. And really, they're a bit of an unlikely couple. They're quite different, we think, in personality, but God brought them together to do amazing things. They turned out to be a dream team for the early church. Now, Paul, let's say he's the one on the left. There wasn't really a photo of Paul. He was a Jewish intellectual elite. He was zealous. He was young. He was talented. And he was fired up with something to prove. And what he was going to do was he was going to defend the Jewish religion, which he was part of, from these Jesus followers. And he arranged and he approved the stoning of a guy called Stephen, who was one of the early church leaders. And he set about destroying the church and imprisoning Jesus followers. But then, you can read this in Acts, through a miraculous encounter with Jesus, he becomes a follower of Jesus. And he wants to help out with the early church. But you can understand that the church didn't really want Paul around. And that's when Barnabas steps in. Now, Barnabas seems to be a very different character. His name means son of encouragement, and that seems to be his particular ministry, encouraging others. And he's from Cyprus. He joins a church fairly early on in its life. And he sells land to give to them, so he supports them financially. He's a gifted preacher, a missionary. And Barnabas vouches for Paul. He comes alongside Paul and says, "Don't worry, I trust him. I believe him. He's one of us." And he vouches for Paul. And we're told that Barnabas is a good man. He's full of faith. He's full of the Holy Spirit. And he recruits Paul for a mission to Antioch, where they spend a year together preaching the good news about Jesus to all the locals there. And they continue to work together. They have a mission across Cyprus and Asia Minor. And when there's a particular bit in Acts, sort of midpoint, where there's a lot of conversation about, do non-Jews have to become Jews in order to become Jesus' followers? There's a huge question. They have a council in Jerusalem. And Paul and Barnabas go together to defend a Gentile's right, a non-Jew's right, to not have to become Jewish and follow all the customs. So they are a team. They're working together. But then the relationship turns sour. So they've had that successful time in Jerusalem. They decide to winter in Antioch. They're leading and preaching there. And then it comes to springtime. The question arises, what do we do next? What's the next adventure that we're going to set out upon? That's what we're going to take up the story. It's in Acts chapter 15 and verses 36 to 41. There we go. So sometime later, so they've had their wintering in Antioch, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. Now, John, also called Mark, we'll call him Mark for sake of brevity, he'd come with them, he'd accompanied them on their first trip. He was a cousin of Barnabas, so part of the family. But at some point, we don't exactly know why, he left them and returned back to his mother in Jerusalem. Maybe it was homesickness, maybe it was inexperience, maybe there was some sort of disagreement. Maybe it was fear of persecution, because these guys often got beaten up when they visited these towns and shared the good news of Jesus. Perhaps it was lack of commitment, but for whatever reason, Mark decides to turn around. He'd just got to the first step in their little missionary journey. He turns around, leaves them, and goes back home. But Paul, so Barnabas wants to take John, give him a second chance, also could Mark with them. But Paul did not think it was wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in their work. So here we come across a problem which is quite common to the church. It might be common to other areas and jobs as well. What is more important, the mission or the individual? The mission, what we've got to do, the task God has given us, or the individual, the person we're going to take on board with us. And what we found is that Paul is very much focused on the mission. The mission comes first. We're not going to take any dead weight with us. He's already let us down once, and he ran back to mummy. Why would we take him again? We need someone that we can rely on. You can imagine Paul making this argument. And then Barnabas on the other side says, no, you know, it was a mistake. He won't do it again. We need to trust him. We need to mentor him. I see some potential in him. I reckon this guy could be someone great. Two people come from two different positions. And what we find is they had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. And the word that we kind of translate as sharp here is severely heightened emotions, a convulsion. In other words, they had a mega blow up. This is not a minor disagreement. This is a really big thing. So much so, this dream team are torn apart and they go opposite directions. Neither could nor would their personalities that once complemented each other now clash spectacularly. Or maybe, see, is it? Can't read my notes. See, maybe it's this, or maybe, see, I think with relationships that break down, often it's not that issue. Often there's something behind it. And I think that's possibly what's happened here. See, originally Barnabas was the one in charge. Barnabas was the one who vouched for Paul. Barnabas was the one who took Paul on board, but Paul quickly becomes a rising star and the one that leads the mission stuff. And you could imagine maybe there was a little bit of tension there. We don't know. Or perhaps we can read in other parts of the New Testament letters that Barnabas was backtracking a bit on letting Gentiles stay Gentiles and not become Jews. So maybe there was a bit of tension there as well. The reality is we don't know. Was there jealousy? Was there anger? Was there distrust? Whatever we don't know, but what we can see here is that they split apart. So maybe you've experienced such an event in your life where you find unable to budge, maybe due to your values, maybe due to your beliefs, maybe just to your gut feeling. That's what we see here, and they split. And we're told that Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the church. See, what's going on here? In some ways, this is a bit of disaster. The dream team is torn apart. It was expected, I'm guessing, this pair would just go on to do great things together. They already have done. If they just keep working together, they can do amazing things. They could achieve so much. And here we find a situation of sharp disagreement. It's all a bit disappointing. And maybe you've found yourself in a similar situation, maybe a breakdown of a marriage, maybe a family feud, maybe the falling apart of a friendship. Maybe you're thinking everything was going so well. You had plans that were going to work, and then this comes up and tears it all apart. Or maybe you were ignoring the warning signs, hoping that it would go away. So the reality is, with this disagreement, we don't know who was right. Maybe they were both right. We don't know. But I just want to quickly pick out three truths that I think we can take from this. And number one is, God has got this. So did God want them to disagree? Did he allow it to happen? I mean, surely God could have stepped in and moved by his Holy Spirit and brought them together and made sure this didn't happen. Or is maybe God is maybe able to make good of a bad situation? See, our first part of this series, we looked at a guy called Joseph, who had a bit of a disagreement and falling out with his brothers, so much so they chucked him down a hole and then sold him to slavery. Not a great way to have a relationship to go. And he ends up prospering through various ups and downs in Egypt, to the point where he becomes second in charge of Egypt, and he manages to save the whole region from starvation. And he says these words to his brothers when he's reconciled with them. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So the reality is, we don't know whether God had something planned, he had it in mind, he decided it was going to happen, or whether he's just making good of a bad situation. But we can trust God that when relationships break down, when things go wrong, God has got this. God can do something good with this. Hello. Number two, sometimes it's necessary. It is never nice when relationships break down like this, particularly one that seemed to be working so well. And yet now we have two experienced evangelists on the loose with an apprentice in tow. See, I remember when I was looking at going to train to be a Baptist minister, it would require me moving from my family and my hometown and my church and moving to London. And I did not want to go at all. I was fighting and battling against it every step of the way. And it got to the point where I was just about due to have my interview in London. And they asked me, do you want to start next month? And I said, no, I want to start in a year's time, because I wanted to delay it as possible. I like my job. I like my flats. I like the money. I like my friendships. I like my church. I liked everything. And I didn't want to leave it. And as some of you have heard this story before, I met my wife, who didn't live in Ipswich, where I lived, who wasn't part of my friendship groups. She was in London, where I was supposed to be going. And when you spend a whole year every other weekend going to London, what it managed to do was break that hold that Ipswich had on me. There wasn't anything wrong with those relationships and those friendships. They were good, but sometimes relationships and friendships can hold us back from doing what God has asked us to do. Sometimes we can sacrifice God's best for goods. Sometimes it can be comfortable to stay with our current relationships and friendships, but in the end, it can hold us back. Sometimes it is necessary for relationships to break down. But with that in mind, number three, don't burn your bridges. See, what happened next in the story of Paul and Barnabas? Were they enemies forever? Would they ever work together again? Well, the Bible doesn't really tell us much, but we can gather a few hints and tips from various letters. For example, Paul later argues in his letter to the church in Corinth that they should support Barnabas, a fellow worker. So there's not too much of an issue between them there. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says this, "Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in my ministry." So that's a bit of a shift in the way he's viewing Mark, who he didn't want him to come with him at all. And it also says this to the church in Colossae, "My fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him." So what we see here, that Paul seems to have sorted out the relationship both with Barnabas and with Mark. Paul's opinion of Mark has changed. Maybe Barnabas was right. In fact, when we look at possibly where Mark ended up, we think that he spent quite a lot of time with Peter, who was a friend of Jesus, one of the chief disciples and one of the main leaders of the church. And we think that he wrote Mark's gospel, based perhaps on Peter's account and memory. So I want to leave you with these words of Paul. Paul, who had a sharp disagreement with a friend, so much so it split them apart. But he shares these words with the church in Rome. He says, "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Is it within your power to make that first move, to reach out, to say sorry? Maybe even if you do it begrudgingly, is it within your power to say that, just to start some reconciliation going?" And notice it says, "as far as it depends on you." You may do that and it will make no difference at all. With these things, there's at least two people in the conflict and in the relationship. But what can you do to start to bring some reconciliation? See, the reality is, you might do that and life may not go back to what it once was. We have no evidence that Paul and Barnabas ever worked together again. But I believe that God can work his purposes in your life, even if your broken relationships aren't fully reconciled. Life may not go back to what it once was. But don't panic. Don't despair. Trust God. He has got this. Follow his calling on your life. Do what is right for you. But where you can mend, don't burn bridges. It may not bring back what you lost, but it could create something new and positive. We're going to take some time out just to listen to some questions before I hand back to Daz. But let's just reflect on these questions, and maybe God's saying something to you this morning.
Where have you experienced a breakdown in a relationship? What effect did it have on you? Do you trust that God can bring about a good result from a bad situation? Is there a scenario where you need to reach out a hand of peace?
So, some quite interesting points to pick up. Yeah. So we thought we'd focus on The second question, do you trust that God can bring about a good result from a bad situation? And I think fundamentally, yes, mm-hmm. for yeah. me, but actually I think it's really difficult. We're just talking about a situation where, you know, broken friendships, broken relationships, and actually the hurt and the feelings that get wrapped up in that. It can be really difficult, can't it, to see the good in that bad situation. Mm-hmm. It can be really difficult to maybe follow God's will in that space. So like, you know, like the third question is about, can you reach out the hand of peace? It can be really difficult when you've been hurt and feel the pain from a broken relationship, especially if you feel maybe that the other person was at fault and they've not actually said sorry, but they just want to gloss over and carry on. Or, you know, it's kind of that weird, it's a weird place to be in, isn't it? But you kind of think actually, you know, there's lessons to learn when relationships break down. Could I have done something differently? Could they have done something differently? How do I manage that hurt and pain? How do I not relive that in another relationship? Because I think sometimes we can take things forward, can't we? We can, you know, we've had our trust broken, so then we don't trust as easily, and that can damage other relationships. So I think it's a difficult one. I think, you know, fundamentally, yes, of course God can make, for me, I believe that God can bring about good out of a bad situation. Yeah. But I think if you've lived in it, it's quite hard to sometimes see it.
What that's very true. That's very true. I mean, yeah, so sometimes you get to a point where you, whatever the type of relationship is, it can't be repaired. Sometimes, you know, just it wouldn't be healthy, you know, for either person to get back into it. Or sometimes you can't.
Sometimes you have to do the respect and the forgiving from a distance, don't you? Your own, you know, mental health and
for your own sanity. You know, just it can't be repaired. I mean, there's so many stories kind of like in the Bible and stuff, and kind of, you know, particularly with Jesus kind of going into a situation and doing something amazing out of it. You know, just it doesn't matter if, you know, someone's, you know, died or whatever it is. It's kind of like in the most extreme ways, you know, Jesus kind of went into a situation and brought something amazing out of something hopeless. You know, and so we're not quite on that level, but there's a lot of things that we can do to try and, you know, bring peace. We can try and repair relationships as much as we can, you know. We just have to try and trust God can use us in whatever situation it is. Do you know what I mean?
No, agreed. And I think also there's the thing of, like, if you don't forgive and move on, and you don't, you know, and that can be really hard. And I think part of the bringing good out of bad situation is that God can help you through that process and help you to forgive where forgiveness feels really difficult. I think because I think what we're not called to live, and it damages ourselves if we carry the anger forward, the bitterness forward, the mistrust forward, because then relationships get scarred, and you can scar others, even if you were the one that was scarred from before. So I think healing has to come through those situations, and that's a good thing. That's a good, that is God working out something for good.
You need that awareness, don't you? The kind of, like, you know, things have gone wrong in the past, and like there's been hurt and upset, and like you said, yeah, potential kind of, like, you know, scarring of, you know, of your of your emotions and stuff. You need to kind of, you know, let God heal you through that, you know, because before you can move on, probably that you can't, you know, unless that you fix that, you're not gonna be able to get past it, and it's going to create more problems.
So it's quite a big thing, because the relationships are so emotive, aren't they? We invest our emotions, our feelings, our hearts, our souls, our spirits sometimes into a relationship, and when those relationships break down, that can be really quite damaging for both parties, but also really hard to recover from. So I think we just need to think about, what can we do and how can we be different going forward? You know, what are the next steps that you would take when you've... So I think some key things are, you know, like Martin said, sometimes it's necessary. Sometimes that separation is necessary, and for both parties. And as you said, it's actually healthier not to be friendships or team or whatever. And I just think also it's about, what are the next steps? That actually, what was your part in that? You can't control what that person or those people are doing and saying or feeling. What do you feel, and what was your part in that relationship breakdown? And how do you learn from that? And how do you gain healing from that? And how do you move on from that? So I think those are the things that we can take away and try and do better.
Mm, yeah, absolutely.
And also, you know, if you struggle with that, which I think we all do, we believe, Stuart and I, that God can help you through that, and God can be the person and the true. And as we said from our reading earlier, He's always with you, won't leave you nor forsake you. And thank you, Roby T, about sort of saying that's about abandoned. He won't abandon you. So, you know, actually in that moment, even if you can't feel it or see it, you can turn to God and say, help me how to manage this breakup or this time, this difficult time.
Yeah.
So we think these talks, as we said earlier, are really useful and have been a good challenge. And of just sort of, it's real life, isn't it? That's what it's been addressing.
Yeah.
So if you found these talks useful, then please do share them with other people. If you want to ask any questions about the talks, you can email gotquestions@hawleybaptist.org.uk. And if you want to know more about what Hawley Baptist Church are doing, you can also email in join.in@hawleybaptist.org.uk. And if you think anybody else would like to hear these talks, then please do show them where we are, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and share this information.
That was today's episode of the Hawley Baptist Church podcast. We hope this prompted you to want to follow Jesus even just a little bit more closely. If you have any questions about what you've heard in today's episode, or you want to know more about what it means to follow Jesus, you can email us at gotquestions@hawleybaptist.org.uk. We would love to hear from you. It would really make our day. If you want to hear more from us, just a reminder that you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can access that and our YouTube channel by heading to hawleybaptist.org.uk/media. Thank you again for listening to the Hawley Baptist Church podcast. We pray God will bless you, and we will see you next time.